The majority of businesses do not grow to 7 figures or 8 figures. You want to know why that is? Because the majority of people are not willing to do what it takes. And I don't know what to tell you, because like, the ones that do succeed, they don't go in with a fucking contingency plan.
I'm Michael Mogul, founder and CEO of Crisp, the nation's number one law firm growth company. I've built my business through practice, not theory. Crisp started with just $500 to my name and has grown to over 8 figures in revenue over the last few years, earning a spot on the Inc. 500 list of the fastest growing private companies in America. Our approach has been to take everything we've learned about generating massive growth within our own organization and help the country's most ambitious and committed law firm owners do the same for theirs. In each episode of this podcast, I sit down with innovative market leaders from the legal industry and beyond to learn from those who thrive in the face of adversity, challenge the status quo, and define what it means to be a true game changer.
This is Jessica, Head of Coaching Strategy at Crisp, and today we're flipping the script for another special edition episode to get Michael's take on how to guarantee you'll never achieve your goals, why the most valuable lessons are learned through experience and failure, and the key difference between ambition and commitment.
Generally, ambition is something where it's like, you know, I'd really like to lose 10 pounds. Commitment is, I'm going to be like, you start tracking when you're eating. You start making sure you take all the junk food out of your house. You commit to certain exercise targets. You're doing all the work. Everything else is ambition.
That's coming up on the Game Changing Attorney podcast. All right, Michael, they're not sick of us yet. Here we are.
Another one. Another one. Here we are. Welcome to the AMMA. Ask me, Michael Mogul, anything. Anything. You can ask me anything. I don't know why you guys keep asking business questions. You can ask me anything. I'm still waiting for a question on politics. Still waiting for a question on things that
Who's
they don't...
Who's to say we haven't gotten those? And I haven't kept them from you.
Well, you could ask anything. If you have a question, you could submit it. You can text us, 404-531-7691. You can ask your question, and we may answer it on the podcast. For those of you tuning in for the first time, just a quick rundown, three types of episodes on this podcast. We have our traditional interview-style questions and guests, where we bring on expert thought leaders from the legal industry and beyond, and this could be anyone, expert trial attorneys, professional athletes, best-selling authors. You never know who's coming next. Number two, we've got our encore editions. After several hundred episodes of the podcast, it's hard to keep track of all the episodes we've ever done, and people join the podcast and subscribe at different times. So we bring back some of the most incredible, most downloaded, most listened to episodes on the podcast. Those are the encore editions. And then finally, the AMMA. You guys submit your questions. We answer them on the podcast. These surprisingly become the most popular episodes on this podcast. And I thought, I mean, we just got to keep booking guests like John Maxwell and like expert trial attorneys. We're going to do that. I'm actually very excited about the guests we have this season. Like, they're going to be better than any prior season. That's incredible. But I had no idea anybody was interested in the AMMA format. And once we started doing it, they became some of our most listened to and most shared episodes. So speaking of which, sharing and listening, we do this episode and this podcast and every single podcast we've ever done since the inception of the podcast back in 2020 for free. Okay, meaning we don't charge money, we don't run ads. Now that is unusual. It's unusual for a podcast that gets hundreds of thousands of downloads every single month to not run ads or have sponsors. So why do we do that? Well, we do it so we can say whatever the hell we want, and our guests can say whatever they want, and we can bring on whoever we want, and that we control the formatting. We can make a ton of money on the podcast. We get offered all sorts of things, from greens powders to underwear to online job sites. They all offer us sponsorship dollars to sponsor the podcast, and they're surprised when we're like, no, we're good. And they're like, what? They're like, are you kidding me? Rogan's podcast was sponsored, and Huberman's podcast is sponsored, and every other legal podcast that has any sort of listenership whatsoever, they have sponsors. What I ask for in exchange for this kind gesture is that if you enjoy this episode, if you get any sort of insight, if we make you laugh, if we make you cry, that you share the podcast with a friend, and then you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, okay? And for this month, anybody who leaves a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and you leave your name or your firm name or anything like that, we're going to send you something special. It's going to be like an actual mailed item. I'm not going to send you like a Starbucks gift card. Relax, right? So all you got to do is leave a 5-star review. Why do I ask, right? Because it's like we have hundreds of 5-star reviews. Well, when we're booking guests, they look at that and they see that the podcast is very popular. It helps us secure guests. It helps us keep the podcast free, helps us reach more people and reach new audiences. So that is all we ask in return. It's free to do for you and it allows us to keep the podcast free. So with that, Jessica, let's get on with it.
Let's do it. All right. So I always try to batch these to kind of have a theme. So this one is all about working hard and what's the end result, really. So first one, after listening to your podcast, I'm all in on growing my law firm, embracing new practice areas, ramping up our marketing game, and even bringing on more staff. But what if I do all this work and I still don't hit my goals?
This is such an interesting question because part of entrepreneurship, when you go out and you decide to start your own law firm, you start your own business, is you saying that I'm going to go off on my own and bet on my own decision-making to achieve some sort of outcome that I want. So you read different books, you attend different conferences, you learn from people, you start to learn different things and different strategies of how you can grow your law firm. You listen to me and podcasts like this. You think, well, what if I do all of this work and I still don't hit my goals? And I'm about to tell you why that is the absolute worst mindset you could probably have. Not just probably, but definitely. I will actually tell you, this might be a little unconventional, that yes, you could do everything that you've just talked about and still not hit your goals because business is hard. Business is the hardest thing you will ever do. I try to discourage people from this, from entrepreneurship, because they watch a lot of Shark Tank and they think that they're all going to make millions of dollars. And the reality of it is the majority of them will never do that. It is the most difficult thing you could possibly do. It is so crushing. Things are going to not go your way all the time. You're going to have problems that you continuously have to overcome and solve. You're going to be ill-equipped. You're going to have to work your ass off. I mean, there's no way around that. And these people that tell you, oh, you know what? I have found this magical balance and I'm only working 20 or 30 hours a week or whatever. And if they're telling you that and it's the early days for you, they're just trying to sell you something. That's not reality. And in fact, they're probably making money off the fact that they're like convincing you of this false reality. It's nonsense. And there's probably going to be, I'll tell you, in the next few years, all these influencers that you're seeing on TikTok and all these people that are buying exotic cars and like showing off this exotic lifestyle, it is all fugazi. It is all fugazi. Their life as an influencer is going to crumble because they're not building any equity. Like, they talk about cash flow and all this stuff, and they're charging X amount of dollars a month, $1,000, $2,000, $10,000 a month. They're bringing on clients and so on. But then once you actually experience the reality of what it is to work with that person, you see that there's no business, there's no infrastructure, there's really no true value. And then those clients churn and there's nothing built. There's no equity. There's no infrastructure. So anyway, my point is that if you do all this stuff, yes, there's a chance it won't work. In fact, if you look at the statistics, there's a greater chance that you won't succeed than that there's the chance that you will succeed. And especially if you have aspirational goals, let's say you want to build a $10 million law firm, a $20 million law firm, a $30 million law firm, whatever it is, the higher the target, the less likely you'll probably achieve that. But you know what's even less likely? Not making the attempt. You are 100% guaranteed to never get where you're going if you don't do this stuff. So instead of looking at it from the standpoint of, what if I do all this work and it don't succeed? Well, I can guarantee that if you don't do this work, you're not going to succeed. And I think that's where the mindset is wrong. Yes, in life, there are no guarantees. If you haven't achieved a certain result, you don't deserve said result. You are not worthy of said result. You're not generating enough value. You haven't figured it out. You haven't solved enough problems. That's part of the journey. It's like that you have to do that for a long time. You have to figure it out. You have to figure out how to be able to hire people, how to be able to train and develop people, how to put processes in place, how to do data and analytics, how to be able to market and brand, how to be able to sell, how to be able to do intake. It's not a small project. I mean, that's why we run a coaching program to help people shortcut this entire process so you don't have to bang your head against the wall for a decade and try to learn in the slowest way possible, which is through experience and failure. So I will say, I'll give you an ad. Go to crispcoach.com. You can learn more about this. But I will say that if you don't do any of this stuff, you are guaranteed to never get there. So instead of looking at it, well, what if I do all this work and I don't succeed? You should instead look at it and say, well, if I don't do this work, I'm guaranteed to not succeed. So yeah, the road is difficult. Don't let anybody glamorize it and say that it's easy. And anybody who says it's easy, you probably should do a little background check to find out, do they really have the results they're preaching? Because there's a lot of experts out there. In fact, I would argue, and I know a lot of these people, right? The majority of these experts, when you pull back the curtain, that's not all that it seems. Their businesses aren't what they appear to be. Now, they've done a marvelous job of branding. I will admit that. But I would argue that there's a lot of people out there that are giving advice, and they've found that giving advice is a lucrative business, as opposed to actually generating results. So again, there's no way around the work. Yes, there's going to be challenge and there's going to be difficulty. The suffering part is optional. You can connect with people, mentors, communities, coaching programs. You can learn from people so you can shortcut a lot of this process. You don't have to figure it out on your own, but you're still gonna have to do the work. There's no way around that. So I don't ever wanna hear, what if I do all this work and I'm not successful? Well, you have to own your own success. but you're guaranteed to not succeed if you don't do the work.
I don't think there's anything to add. Perfectly said. All right. So this one is quite lengthy. So I recently hired a new paralegal after my rock star paralegal moved away. While she had big shoes to fill, I worried that my high expectations and demanding nature might not align with her working style. If things don't pan out with this new hire, what steps should I take to ensure a smoother transition and better match for my firm's needs? Everybody's scared on this one today.
Man. Well, first of all, if you feel like this person's not aligned with you, then why did you hire her? Obviously, if you're already having hesitations, then maybe you should revisit your entire hiring process to determine why you're hiring people that you have no confidence in alignment in terms of cultural fit and your alignment in terms of your leadership style, and that you can set expectations clearly. Yeah, I mean, to be truthful, that's unfairly setting that person up for a very unsuccessful reality and unsuccessful situation. It's not fair to the person that you hired, okay? Now, another thing, like, stop calling people rock stars, okay? My rock star paralegal, my rock star this. It's implying that there is, like, only one of these people. There's 8 billion people on this planet. And by the way, like, whoever you believe was a rock star, you may find another one who's even better. And you probably will, because your standards change and your standards evolve. And also, if you think, oh, hey, someone's not replaceable, well, there's graveyards full of irreplaceable people. Everybody's replaceable. You're replaceable. I'm replaceable. Everybody's replaceable. In fact, there's situations where, you know, you ever go online, you read some of these places where you go on Reddit or something and you have, like, employees and team members talking about the fact of, like, you know what, don't dedicate yourself to your job because if something ever happened to you, if you passed away, they would replace you. And my answer to that is absolutely. What am I supposed to do? If someone passed away, I'm supposed to leave the position vacant? Now, I understand what they're saying, right? Like, the point is that the reality of it is that you can find another great person, but you have to be able to set those expectations and you have to have that criteria of who it is that you're looking for. And you have to be able to convey that through your hiring process, through your job postings, through the interviews, and be able to vet appropriately. So if you're coming in, you've just hired somebody and you're already worried that they're not going to be successful, well, number one, I would have a very candid conversation with this person about your concerns right out of the gate before you waste too much of their time. And number two, I would also take ownership of the fact that you've now hired this person. You've got to invest in them and provide them with the resources to be successful. You have to be able to provide them with the resources of how to do their job, what the clarity is around, like, the role expectations, what are the criteria, let's say KPIs, the key performance indicators of what does great look like to define that. If they need any training or development, that you have to invest in them. Like, take this seriously. Take this seriously. Be a leader. Stop blaming it on all these people, good people, bad people, whatever it is. Be a leader. No one's going to figure this out for you. The reality of it is that you now have hired a person, and this person made a decision to now work your firm. They probably left somewhere else, or maybe they're unemployed, but in either case, they made a decision that now they're going to dedicate their time to serving your organization and helping you grow. So now you also have to return that favor and make sure that you are aligning with them and helping them succeed and achieve their goals. Okay? So that's all it is. I don't know what else to say there.
All right. Last one here. I find a lot of value in your recent episodes about defining and achieving goals. However, the pessimistic side of me wants to make a plan for failure. Have you ever been fully committed but had a contingency plan for when it didn't work out? I feel like this whole one I designed around the doomsday preppers.
I can't tell if you guys are just trying to piss me off. Just trying to get a rise out of me. Like, this is another question. This person's like, I'm committed to my goals,
but
the word commitment, the C word, and the word but, you can't juxtapose those two. Let's define what commitment is. Commitment is unwavering dedication to a goal, a target, something you set out to do. But when you put a but there, that's not commitment because there's wavering, okay? What you have is ambition. You have the desire to achieve something, right? The difference between ambition and commitment is generally ambition is something where it's like, you know, I'd really like to lose 10 pounds. Commitment is, I'm going to be, like, you start tracking when you're eating, you start making sure you take all the junk food out of your house, you commit to certain exercise targets, you're doing all the work. Everything else is ambition. No matter if it's cold outside, if it's raining outside, if it's thunderstorming outside, you go and do what you have to do, what you set out to do, regardless of what the conditions are. Sometimes, most of the time, they're not going to be ideal. So when this person's saying, have you ever committed to goals, but do you have a contingency plan in mind? Now, look, if you go into something with a plan B, then you are doing plan A a disservice. Now, I will be fair. I'm going to put the little asterisk here. You have an additional options where if this doesn't work out, we're going to try this option. If that doesn't work out, we're going to try this option. Like, of course. I mean, you don't want to just say, I'm going to bet the entire business on this one idea. That would be stupid. You don't want to do something that's going to be, you know, it's going to wipe you out if it doesn't work out. That's just poor decision making. But that being said, if you're committed to achieving something, then you got to go all in to achieve it. And have I ever had situations where like I was fully committed to something and didn't work out? All the damn time. All the time. We commit to things and campaigns and initiatives, and we invest dollars and programs and people, and we train them, we develop them, like we commit to making this work out. But there's things that are outside of your control. You cannot control somebody else's effort, for example. You cannot control other people and what they do with like the information that you give them. You can empower someone. You can provide the support. You can provide the resources. You can invest in them, for example. Similarly, with different types of campaigns, there's just, let's say we're running a marketing campaign. We're going to try different things. We're going to allocate certain budget. And guess what? You can't have a 100% hit rate where it's going to be successful every time. But that's where you invest dollars. And a lot of times I look at it and say, you know what? Half the dollars we're going to invest in this campaign, maybe more, is going to be just for R&D and getting data back, just so we know what doesn't work. And that's going to allow us to pivot to make a different decision. And that's how we iterate campaigns and eventually become successful with them. But it's rare that you launch a campaign and it's successful right out of the gate, that you got everything right. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. And then it's the same way where it's like someone sets out to do something and they're like, well, you know, you go in, but you're already thinking about all the ways that it's probably not going to work or what you're going to do when it doesn't work. It's such a silly mindset. So I think you have to reevaluate what committed means, first and foremost. And committed means that we're going to do whatever it takes. And when we encounter difficulties and adversity, we're going to figure it out. We're going to overcome those challenges. We're going to be creative. We're going to adapt. But we're not going to change the target or the goal. We're just going to change the action steps of how we get there. Okay, the goal is going to stay the same. So don't do one of these things where you're saying, oh, I'm going to be committed to some goal, but I'm really not fucking committed to it at all because I'm already saying, what if it doesn't work? And that's such a disservice to your team as well. Like, who wants to follow a leader like that? Full steam ahead, but be careful because maybe the whole thing's not going to work out. Maybe it's not going to pan out. Here are our goals this year, everybody. Here's what we're going to do as an law firm, but just in case we don't hit those goals, here's all the things. I just want to let you guys know we're probably going to do layoffs, and we're probably going to like cut people's salaries, and we're probably not going to do the holiday party, and we're probably not going to do this. And, like, imagine how inspired people come out of that meeting. It's another question about, like, I just don't believe that everyone is built for this. The longer that I do this, the more I start to see that I think a lot of people like the idea of being a leader or an entrepreneur or growing a law firm. But then when it actually comes time to climb that mountain, that's where people start to negotiate with themselves. And they start to say, you know, that's where the fear sets in and they give in to that little bitch inside. And that's where they start to reevaluate whether their goals are actually their goals or whether their commitments are actually their commitments. Because they like the idea of telling somebody at a cocktail party or selling somebody on social media, here's what I'm going to do. But then when it's in the shadows, when you actually have to do the work and it's grueling and it's exhausting and it's extremely difficult, that's where you're really starting to, you know, confront and look in the mirror and say, here's who I am. And you either give in or you find a way to push through and you get it done. There's no delicate way to say this. Like, the results that you see from the people you admire, that is work that's done in the shadows. That's work that you don't see on social media. That's work that you don't see during daylight hours typically, right? Or even during weekdays. It's figuring out how to get to where you're going no matter what. You're having to make compromises. You're sometimes having to make sacrifices. You're having to make trade-offs. You can't live a normal life if you're trying to achieve something that is an outlier or abnormal in some way. That if you go into something already thinking it's not going to be successful, I mean, you're out of the fight before you even got in the fight. Again, that's why I say, like, are these people trying to piss me off with these questions? I understand, like, it's probably an honest question. Someone doesn't mean to frustrate me, but I would reevaluate the mindset going in of saying that, like, am I really committed to doing this? Do I really want to grow my business? Do I really want to, like, commit to growing my law firm? And if so, not what I'm willing to do, but what am I willing to give up? And am I willing to give up maybe Netflix, maybe some sleep, maybe time with my friends? Am I willing to be able to do the things now that I need to do to achieve the life that I want later? You can't have it all the time. I mean, we've done episodes on this as well, where it's like people talk about balance, right? You want to work 40 hours a week. You want to spend time with your friends. You want to spend time with your family. You want to be able to exercise and be in good shape. Your business is like nothing right now, and you want to be able to have it all. And that's just not the reality. What do you expect? The majority of businesses do not succeed. The majority of businesses do not grow to 7 figures or 8 figures. You want to know why that is? Because the majority of people are not willing to do what it takes. And I don't know what to tell you, because like the ones that do succeed, they don't go in with a fucking contingency plan. The ones that do succeed are willing to do whatever it takes. They're not in the middle of doing whatever it takes and saying, oh, I'm going to go out for lunch. Let me go, you know, relax for a little bit. They're sitting there and powering through, and they're exhausted, and they're finding a way to get to where they're going. and you got to decide which one are you, bitch or beast. I don't know what else to tell you. Look, not everyone is built for this. And I say this with the utmost respect. If this is not for you, and what I'm saying sounds unreasonable and it bothers you, you can have a much better life, and I believe you'll be much happier not doing this and instead working at another business. You could still make great money. You could still be happy. But this is an entirely different animal that I don't think most people are built for.
Could not agree more. All right. That's all of my doomsday questions.
I love it. We'll see you guys next time.
You've been listening to the Game Changing Attorney podcast with Michael Mogul. If you found this episode valuable, here are three free ways that we can help you grow your law firm. Number one, download the first chapter of Michael's book absolutely free at gamechangingattorney.com. Number two, you can shoot Michael a text at 404-531-7691 and ask him any question you'd like. You might just hear the answer on the next episode. And finally, number three, if you can leave this podcast a five-star review, it will help us gain access to more influential thought leaders and bring their lessons learned here to you. For more information on this episode, see the show notes in your podcast app or visit legalpodcast.com. We'll be right back.